We're having our first class, preparatory class, for our model Seder. So, in our next classes, we will discuss what we prepare for the Seder, in terms of the salt water, the karpas, the vegetable we'll dip in the salt water, the maror, the goblets of wine, the wine itself, or grape juice, the Haggadah you should have. I want to touch on it a little bit now, just so you guys get prepared for our model Seder. So number one, everyone should bring their own Haggadah. You should own your own Haggadah. The Haggadah is the text that we read on the Seder night. You should take notes in it. That way you'll be able to use it in future years. You'll have a reference. So every person should have their own Haggadah. What I did was, I tried for many years. Every year I would learn a new commentary on the Haggadah. So many years I would buy a new Haggadah, because I'd learn a new commentary every year. That way we enrich ourselves and we keep growing every year. You want your Seder to be more and more interesting. So those of you who would like, if your Hebrew is good, you could go online on my website, 123torah.com. I have under holidays and fasts, so under Pesach, I have the oral reading of certain commentaries on the Haggadah. Rashi, the Ritva, the Rashbeit. When I learned it with my Chavruta, so I asked him if it's okay that I do all the reading, and I'll record it as we read. So I let him catch up. Other things that we learned, he did all the reading. But on the reading of the Haggadah, so I have the reading of many different commentaries in Hebrew. So you could listen to it on the go. We have many commentaries on the Haggadah, and again, I highly recommend you guys get at least the Hebrew-English Haggadah, so you follow what you're reading and what you're understanding, what you're saying. For the Seder night, it's very important to be in a place that will hopefully enrich you. Enrich you is not only content, it's not only information, it's also to see how a Jewish home runs the Seder. It's to see that people aren't uptight at the Seder. It's to see that the Seder is a fun time for kids and family. It's to see how you go through the Seder and each child gets their attention and the family gets the consideration and the warm atmosphere that is memorable for the whole year. And so I highly recommend every one of you ensure that you have an Orthodox home that you feel you want to learn from, that you're going to attend their Seder. Our model Seder cannot fill in what happens at the real thing. And again, a lot of it is the atmosphere. I remember one year we had a young couple over by us for the Seder, and the next day or a little bit later, the young man said to me, "That Seder was so enlightening." I said, "Really? I was thinking about the Divrei Torah we had spoken about." And he said, "Yeah, it was phenomenal." I said, "Thank you. What did you take away from it?" So he said to me, "I remember how one of your children was drinking wine, and he drank the first cup, and you said, 'You know, you might not want to drink so much grape juice and wine. You might have a hard time. You have to drink four cups tonight.'" And the kid said, "Don't worry, Abba, I can do it." And you said, "Whatever you want, but I would recommend drink something else and not just that much." And the kid went and drank it. And then you reached the second cup, and again, the kid wanted to drink a full cup. And you said, "You know, you don't have to drink the full cup. And at your age, it's a good idea not to drink the full cup." And the kid said, "Don't worry, Abba, I can do it." And he drank the full cup, and you didn't say anything. And then you reached the third cup. When you reach the third cup, the kid looked at that cup and looked at you and looked at that cup and said, "Abba, do I have to drink the third cup?" And you looked at him and you looked at the cup and you said, "If you don't feel well, if you feel like you can't drink that third cup, you're still a child, so don't." And then you went on with the Seder. I said, "Yeah." So he said, "That was the biggest lesson of the whole Seder." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I would have exploded at the kid. I told you not to, and you did. And now you can't drink the third cup? What's with your mitzvah? What's with your four cups? I would have gone berserk." And I saw you just like smile and say, "Okay, next year." And you moved on. And the whole Seder just went on, and you just ignored it. And the kid didn't drink the third cup, and you didn't make a big deal out of it, and you just moved on. He said to me, "That was the highlight of my Seder." taught me something about the importance of being with a family. Seeing they don't make a big deal with the little kids. You play with them, you joke with them. They try to steal the afikoman. I usually try to make a dummy afikoman. I have the real thing and a fake one. And so when the kids steal it, I first let them steal the dummy bag. And they already know that by now. They open it and they see it's empty. So I've become more sophisticated. I put in machine matzah. So they open it and they see the machine matzah. And then they realize they got the dummy bag. It's not the hand matzah. It's not the real afikoman. But all of this is important to learn the atmosphere of the Seder. So number one, try to make sure you arrange for yourself to be at a home that you feel you want to learn from, that you like the way they bring up their kids, an Orthodox home where you will learn the traditions of the Seder. Part of the Seder is the tunes of the Seder. It's not only the atmosphere, it's also the songs we sing. I recommend you guys take a good nap Thursday, because if it's up to me, then the Seder will go till 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and we will go over every single song of the Seder. Now, I have recordings online on my website, 123torah.com, where you can actually download for free the songs of the Seder, my Ashkenazi tradition, and I recommend you do that. We once had neighbors across the hall who were Chozrim B'Tshuva, and for the 2 weeks before Pesach, you'd walk by their house and you'd hear me singing, because they wanted to learn the songs of the Seder, so they downloaded all that stuff, and they had it on MP3 playing. So for the 2 weeks before the Seder, the whole family was listening to the songs of the Seder. So you should learn the songs. It's one of the most important experiences that kids have at the Seder. When we reach the end, and we have 45 minutes of singing, so for the kids that's very meaningful. So I recommend you take the time to learn it. It's fun songs. They have a fun rhythm, they have fun participation with the kids. It's a good idea. We said make sure to have a Haggadah for Thursday night. I have 15 copies of Haggadahs downstairs to lend out, but I recommend you get your own. I recommend you get one in which you'll write your notes and you'll have with you. If this is the Haggadah you will be using at the Seder, so make sure that you keep it chametz free. Okay? Make sure you put it in a bag, make sure it stays clean of chametz. Friday night. The model Seder? Friday night. It's on the night between the 14th and the 15th. Now, before we go into our the 14th and 15th of Nisan, now before we go into the concepts of the Seder, let's quickly go over a few halachot that are relevant. It is a month from this past Friday. 4 weeks from this past Friday. Okay? That night. 4 weeks from this past Shabbos. Okay? This past Shabbos was Kitisa. This coming Shabbos is Vayakel Pkudei. The next Shabbos is Vayikra. The following Shabbos is Tzav. And the next Shabbos is Pesach. Okay? Now,
the 31st of March
is Pesach. Okay, coming back to our preparation for the Seder.
So, there, since it will fall on Shabbat, there will be no Shabbat Gadol.
No, the Shabbat before that is Shabbat Gadol. Okay, in preparation for Pesach, we get rid of our chametz. It is recommended to sell your chametz. We take whatever chametz we won't finish before Pesach. We put it away. We label it. And we go to the rabbi 2 or 3 days before Pesach. We fill out a form. And we appoint the rabbi as our messenger for selling the chametz. Yes?
So, selling chametz is a mitzvah, right?
No. No mitzvah. It's just a practical, good idea.
Typically, this is something that you people are trying to sell to me. So there's no point of me trying to sell my own chametz as a practicing Jew.
It's a good habit. Learn how you do
it. So I should learn it even though people are selling me chametz.
They shouldn't sell you chametz. Let them find someone else to sell their chametz to, not you. Not nice. They shouldn't sell to you. No? Sorry. It's not nice. You're practicing. There's no reason they should sell you chametz. Tell them I said no. They should get used to treating you like a Jew, not get used to treating you differently. No. Sorry. You have to get used to the mitzvot, and they have to get used to treating you like a brother. Coming back to selling chametz, if you, it's always a good idea to sell your chametz. We do the sale a few days earlier. We appoint the rabbi as our shaliach, our messenger. He will actually go and do the sale the morning before Pesach. Because the morning before Pesach, when it becomes about 10:30 in the morning, the chametz becomes prohibited. So you have to sell it beforehand. So that morning at like 7 o'clock in the morning, the rabbi meets with a non-Jew and he brings all the contracts that people appointed him as a messenger, and he makes cuts the deal with the non-Jew: I am hereby selling you all the chametz. Let's say all the chametz that they appointed me as a messenger to sell is worth 4 million shekels. Okay, you're going to pay me 100 shekels now, and if you and you will take ownership of all the chametz, and you will finish the payment the night after Pesach. Okay? On that night, you will show up. Now, if you choose on that night to finish off the payment, then that's great. You'll take all the chametz. However, if on that night you decide you don't want to pay anymore, so on that night we will buy back the chametz from you. We're willing to do that. So the non-Jew purchases the chametz, and from that point onward it isn't ours. It should be closed off in a closet that's locked, in a closet that's labeled. We shouldn't access it. We shouldn't even see it. It should be put away. Now, if you don't have a rabbi who you know who sells chametz, then go online. Chabad has a website where you could sell your chametz. But you could only do this before the morning before Pesach. That morning, the Chabad closes the website. They can tell where your IP address is, where you are. They won't let you sell your chametz once the deadline passes. So you have to make sure to do your sale of chametz by the night of Bedikas chametz. Make sure by that time you've sold your chametz. The night before Pesach, we have Bedikat chametz. We go and check throughout the house to make sure there's no more chametz left. Now, before Bedikat chametz, we really clean up our houses. We check our pockets, we check our knapsack, we check our book bag, we check our talis bag, we check throughout the house. Maybe I have chametz somewhere. You know, check your coat pockets. You check everywhere where sometimes you put chametz. You know, maybe you're on your way out and you're in the middle of eating a cookie. You put it in your pocket for a minute to pay the bus driver and you never remember to take it out again. Then comes the Erev Pesach and you find, oh, that cookie, still edible, not bad. Right? So we check all our pockets. We check all the different places that we own. Let's say you're leaving yeshiva. You're going to leave yeshiva a week before Pesach. So the night before you leave yeshiva, you do bdikat chametz. You check all around the places you own for the chametz that might be there. Now, the bdikat chametz that's a week before Pesach, you don't make a blessing over that bdikat chametz. What happens if you thought you were going to check at night and you forgot? So now you check by day. If you're going to leave in 2 hours, you realize the morning of, you're leaving in 2 hours, you didn't check for the chametz. So check right now, again, without a blessing. The night before Pesach, what? Call them and ask them what to do.
It's just the Shabbat. What do you do?
I didn't understand.
It's just the Shabbat. It's only Shabbat. It's not good.
The eve of Pesach is not Shabbat, it's Friday. The eve of Pesach is on Shabbat this year. So we do burn the chametz the morning before Pesach. However, again, the major check is the night beforehand, and make sure to sell whatever chametz you want to keep through the rabbi to a non-Jew. Whiskey is usually chametz. It's made from wheat. Vodka is usually chametz. Arak is usually chametz. Okay, good. Check which vodka. There's vodka and there's vodka.
Most vodka in Israel, the stuff that I've bought, is...
Okay, what I remember, again, maybe I'm wrong. I thought the absolute vodka was made of wheat. I thought. Absolute.
some which are made of wheat, some other materials.
Okay, you can check. There are different websites that'll tell you. Now, when it comes to medication, so talk to your local Orthodox rabbi. You don't like switching medication unnecessarily. Very often, the medication is not edible. However, sometimes the medication is made of starch. Sometimes the flavorings in the medication is chametz. So check with your local Orthodox rabbi. Find out what medication you're taking and what the deal is. We have lists. Every year we have lists. The Kupat Cholim puts out a list, and the Badatzim put out lists. Okay. You could online. Leumi Kupat Cholim has a list, I think also in English. Yeah?
Yeah, I ask because not everyone probably has English.
No? Check. If you have a hard time, give me a call. even the Badat Zedah Haredit list nowadays has Hebrew and English. Coming back to our preparation for Pesach, bring matzah and grape juice. Those who drink wine usually don't make it through the Seder because you're coming on an empty stomach, so the wine hits you completely differently. It's even if you always can handle your liquor, the eve of Pesach, everyone's busy, there isn't so much you can eat on the eve of Pesach, you usually didn't have a chance to drink too much, people take a little bit of wine in that first cup of Kiddush, and boom, they have a very hard time lasting through the Seder. So, yeah, you can. I recommend mixing. I recommend put a little bit of wine and a lot of grape juice. A little bit of wine and a lot of grape juice. And if you see that you could really handle it, it's on the third or fourth cup, you'll take a full cup of wine, and then you'll realize, no, I shouldn't have done that. Because another problem with the wine is that it doesn't digest well with matzah. It really hits the stomach hard, and it's hard to stay awake. Think about your meal. You're going to come to the meal and drink one cup of wine or grape juice. Then you can have a little bit of a vegetable dipped in salt water. Then you're going to talk and sing and learn for the next 2.5 hours or 1.5 hours. Then you can have another cup of wine or grape juice. All of this on an empty stomach. After that, you're going to eat some matzah. After that, you're going to eat maror. After that, you're going to eat a matzah and maror sandwich. And only then do you hit the meal. So the type of stomach trouble you can have from this type of diet, it's just not recommended to have wine. You know, drink grape juice, and if you insist, dilute your wine with grape juice. You'll see you can handle it. On the third or fourth cup, you could be a macho man and see if you could really handle it. My experience is, every year students say they can handle it, and then they can't. Every year the guys think they can do it, and those who try get knocked out.
You can't just have a glass of water.
All the guys tell me they used it. You know how many guys?
I've been doing it for...
At the Seder, you've been doing it. Okay, fine.
And just drink a glass of water?
You are allowed to drink a glass of water between the first and second cup. Yes, you are allowed to drink water in between. Okay, we move on. So, in preparation for Pesach, yes. We get rid of our chametz. We buy matzah. If you're going to buy the matzah you eat at the Seder night, so that matzah should have a label on it, Shemura Matzah. That means it was watched extra carefully for the sake of the mitzvah of eating matzah. So you can buy machine-made Shemura Matzah, you can buy handmade Shemura Matzah. If you're a guest by someone's house, make sure you bring food that they're comfortable eating. We were once having a Seder at our house, all the wonderful guests were there, and one wonderful fellow from Machon Meir brought a very special wine in honor of the Seder. All the guys were drinking it, everyone was excited, a really good bottle of wine. And then we had finished the second cup, we had almost finished the bottle, and everyone had washed for Amotzi. And after everyone washed, one of the guests hands me the bottle and says, it's not kosher for Pesach. Now we have this wine which spilled all over the table, and I don't want to embarrass this guest. What am I supposed to do? And everyone drank it already. So I didn't say a word. I just folded up shop. I said, guys, it's a filthy tablecloth. I'm sorry. Half the people had already washed. They couldn't talk. They're waiting for me, and I seem really weird. But I realized that I might have non-kosher for Passover grape juice all over the table. I didn't... Right? According to the bottle, it's not kosher for Passover. So I said, guys, forgive me. It's going to take us another 10 minutes. And we paused the Seder for 20 minutes. wrapped up, you know, the plastic tablecloth, brought a new plastic tablecloth, cleaned out everyone's cups, brought new dishes, continued, you know, and the poor guy figured out what had happened, and he was mortified. How could he bring a bottle to our house, non-kosher for Pesach, wine or grape juice? It was wine. Fine, I tried to not make a big deal out of it, and we continued the Seder. We're wrapping up the Seder. Everyone's leaving and the guy's apologizing profusely, and I'm like, no big deal. Let's just take the bottle out to the garbage now, you know. I don't want to leave it at home. And suddenly I take the bottle in better lighting, and it turns out that the kosher for Passover was black, printed on black. Meaning you couldn't see it in the lighting by the table. But where I was standing now, I suddenly saw that was kosher for Passover all along. I called him, I said, come look, you did good, it was kosher for Passover. We just didn't see it. However, it taught me a lesson. If you're going to bring something to your host, make sure it's something they're comfortable with. Don't surprise them. You know, the guy was a top guy, and he really did right. He was okay. He didn't do anything wrong. But I didn't know that. In the middle of the Seder, suddenly all the people at the Seder felt terrible. Everyone had drank that grape juice or wine on Pesach, and everyone thought it was not kosher for Passover, including him. We didn't see it. You couldn't see it in the lighting. So you're going to be a guest. You want to bring something? Make sure it's something they're comfortable with. Don't just show up with it. You can't always trust the seller in the store. Very often they tell you, yeah, this is really a good action. They don't know what they're talking about. So make sure your host is comfortable with it. Today with WhatsApp, you could send them a picture. You guys like this action? Are you comfortable with it? Yes, no. It's nice if you're a guest for Pesach. People work hard. Help out. So you could offer to bring wine or grape juice. You could offer to bring matzah. You could offer to show up and watch the kids. You could offer to come and help set the table for the Seder. You can offer to stay at the end and help clean up. Because at the end of the Seder, everyone's tired. And there's another hour's worth of work to put all the food away and clean up shop afterwards. If you know how to cook, you could help cook. Right, but you should be a good guest. A good guest is someone who not only takes, but also gives. And again, you have to give in line with what your host is comfortable with. Some hosts won't be comfortable if you bring your own matzo or your own grape juice. Work with your hosts. Work with your hosts and be respectful of their needs for their children. Meaning some guests take all the attention. The host has to speak to them all the time. The Seder night is the time to be with the kids. So your host has to talk to his kids at the Seder. That's his job. If he wants to talk to you, great. But it's a good idea to pay attention. And if you have a nice Dvar Torah or a good question, so stick it in. Hopefully you'll enrich the Seder. I highly recommend you take a good nap. I highly recommend before the Seder you bring your pillow and your Haggadah. When we show up to the Seder, we want to start. Most people show up to the Seder and lose a precious half hour while they're getting the goblets from all over and the pillows and the Haggadah, and that's my churn, oh, it's my churn, I want that and I want that. And they waste a lot of time over that. You want your Seder to run. Most people don't do that. But you can try to do that. And so for Thursday night, make sure you have your pillows here, your Haggadah here. If you have a wine goblet, bring it. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we will meet Thursday night for our model Seder. I would like to, before taking questions, run around and make sure where everyone intends to be for the Seder. And Be'ezrat Hashem, a week from tonight, we're going matzah baking. The first class will focus on how we bake matzah. And the second class, we will actually go on a trip to a matzah bakery and see what they do.